Just before you start listening to this episode, this story contains descriptions of the brutality of war. So if there are small ears around, you might want to be a little bit careful. Hello, and thanks to everyone who's been donating coffees via the coffee button on the Where Are You Going website. A special thank you to Charlotte, who listens in from Denmark. From an international listener to an international location, I'm reflecting back on my trip to New York a few years ago. It's a city that pulls people in from all around the world. I particularly remember this encounter. It was a hot summer's evening, and the sidewalks were heaving with people. Where are you going?
I think I'm going to go home. I've just finished work, so I'm going to go home, probably make some dinner, and then maybe go to the movies.
What did you do for work?
I'm in the diamond business. I sell diamonds.
What's it like selling diamonds?
It's fun selling diamonds. It's lots of fun because they're big, they're beautiful, they're expensive.
You must meet a lot of people who are in love.
I meet lots of people in love, but I also meet lots of people that really aren't that in love, but they still want diamonds.
What? So you sell diamonds. Yeah. What else have you done?
I was in the military for 9 years. I was a paramedic. Served a few tours of duty.
I'll get arrested.
I've done lots, actually. I scraped barnacles off a submarine.
In the military or just
no,
fun?
No. That was when I lived in Plymouth, yeah.
Tell me about Iraq.
Iraq's horrible. It's one of the most brutal places I've ever been to. They should probably have left Saddam Hussein in power, really. And then this ISIS rubbish would not be where it is today. That's it in a nutshell, I think.
But you were a medic, so you must have a pretty extreme experience of what happened during the war.
Absolutely. And you do. You know, I treated enemy, my soldiers, American soldiers, and you know what? I'm there for my buddy. I'm not there for anybody else. I'm there for my buddy. I don't really care about the political views of all that side of it. I joined the army. I know what I signed up for, and I would never change that. Never.
What's it like being a medic in that kind of certain sort of situation? What sort of things do you have to deal with?
You know what? For all the training that we do in the military, and it might be boring doing that same stuff over and over again, you know what? It actually works. When you actually need it, you do it without even thinking. It comes second nature. So for all those times I was bored doing the same stuff, the same triage, the same moulages, it works. You just switch, and then you just do what you need to do, and you get that guy out, and then you reassemble, and then you crack on, and you do the patrol as usual.
What do you mean, get that guy out and reassemble? That covers a whole story.
You know, you get the guy out, you treat him, you treat his injuries to the point where you're making him stable enough to get on the helicopter, go to the main hospital in the Cobb, and then the doctors could do their thing. That's my job, to maintain the casualty for as long as I can, to get him on that helicopter and then do his thing.
What sort of injuries have you seen?
Gunshot wounds, fragmentation, blast injuries, amputations, everything that you would associate with war. Those really nasty things.
How do people react when they've been injured in a way like that?
It's very different. I've had people that have had a double leg amputation and they're talking like we're talking now. They don't really know what's going on. But then I've had one guy who, it's the most ear-piercing scream you've ever heard in your life and you never want to hear that again. Very extreme. Everybody's different. I don't particularly like either. But you know.
And how do you hide emotion? So you're dealing with someone whose leg's been blasted off.
What I do is I always expect the worst. If I'm not initially there at the scene, I always expect the worst, so I'm not overcome with something that may be worse. And you just need to shut off. It's a pride thing. You need to make sure that you're not flapping because your guys will then not trust you. So you just need to, man up, really. And you just need to, it's tough. It's called like a commander's minute, where you have a minute to like compose yourself and just make sure that you're getting everything in your head, knowing what you go. You know you've got your kit, you know your training's good, and you know you're their medical asset, and you're going to do the best you can for them at that point.
So you gather yourself in a minute, and then it's
absolutely
acting.
Absolutely. You've got to gather yourself. There's nothing worse than, and I've seen people, you know, crumble. We were at an incident, and one of the girls was the first medic there. I knew her. She was crying her eyes out. And I didn't make her feel bad. She put tourniquets on. I said, calm down, don't worry about it. Reassess the tourniquets. I'll do this. Just everything's going to be
good. What was the incident?
It was a warthog got hit by an IED. It didn't really penetrate the warthog, but it blew the three, the commander, the driver, and the gunner. The commander's leg got caught between the plate, and it was more of a tearing injury, but with such force, and the guy was like 260 pounds. This is the and he was in a bad way. He was in a very bad way. His leg was next to him. He could see it. He was laying on the track. There was diesel everywhere. And he was in a lot of pain. A lot of pain. And we did, you know, he lost his leg, but we saved him. We did what we could. And we got him on the MERT, which is the helicopter. And those guys were amazing. It's like echelons of medical care. You know, we're the first responders. Then it's the MERT. Then it's the hospital. Then it's back in England. And yeah, that was a bad day. That was a bad day.
Have you ever lost it, or afterwards, when you've dealt with, I don't know, children or people you feel genuinely horrified to see in such pain, and then gone home and or gone back to base and lost it?
I had one incident where a little girl was injured in a blast. She was 7 years old. I had a daughter, and she was in a bad, bad way. And a lot of my kit wasn't designed for that small of a person, so you have to adapt. Which I did my best, and then I gave it. We put her on the MERT, and she ended up dying. She was actually going to hospital in Afghanistan because she had septicemia, and she died on the operating table. She died of major organ failure. So that was pretty tough. And I think I definitely I used to write journals, but I definitely shed a tear there because you relate to your, you know, my little girl at home, and if she was in that, you know, I'd be devastated.
She was Iraqi.
She was Afghani. She was Afghani. Yeah, Afghani. 7 years old. Tiny little thing. Tiniest little tongue I've ever seen in my life. And like broken teeth, fingers were gone, just peppered with frag. All other 10 people involved in the incident were dead. And then all of a sudden, this guy comes running out of this field and just plonks this girl in my arms. That took me a minute to like comprehend and sort my head, you know. And yeah, that was another bad day. There's lots of bad days at war. You know?
Do you think about her? You're obviously talking about her now, but do you think about her?
Yeah, I mean, I read my journals. I meet a lot of military people in this city, and we talk about it. We talk about our experiences. There's nothing worse than I met a lady the other day, and she was so naive about war, and she was calling us baby killers and all this stuff. And I said, where are you getting your sources? She went, oh, the news. I went, well, take it from somebody who's been there. We don't kill babies. You know, stuff like that. And
do you get solace from that kind of solidarity? So
absolutely,
you meet someone
absolutely.
Else?
I met a guy in this pub who noticed my band. We started talking, and we happened to realise that he was on the same operation as me in 09, but he was half a mile down the road. The goosebumps I got from that conversation was unreal. Unreal.
Does it feel like a story otherwise, or like a film, or like something that didn't really happen?
No, I definitely feel it happened. I watched a movie the other day called Kajaki, and it's a movie based in Afghanistan in 06, and I knew like two of the guys. There was a major incident where they got caught in a minefield, and it was bad. And you know, that brings back memories, and you just get transfixed by it. You know, you shed a little tear. Yeah, but I like to know. For sure.
You're not in the army now, so...
No.
Is that strange? Because that's so significant, it sounds like.
You know, like, again, one of the guys is an ex-Vietnam vet. We talk about it all the time. You know, once you're in, that's it. You can't change that. So, he talks about his experiences. We talk about mine. We talk about the weapons they use. I talk about mine. And I think that's a good thing. I think it's good to talk. And good to... let people know what you actually did and not what they actually hear. And when it actually comes from somebody who's been on the ground, what better idea of the story can you get from actually somebody who was there rather than listening to somebody on the news who, you know?
How do you think it changed you?
I think it made me a better man. I think it made me stronger. I think it made me worry about the less significant crap, like somebody putting the wrong shoe in the wrong box. You know, that's really fixable. You know, it puts everything into perspective a little bit. And I don't worry about the mundane, boring stuff that really a lot of people worry about. like 3 weeks ago, I was worrying about somebody with no legs, like, you know, when I first got here, and this lady's worrying about a wrong shoe in a wrong box. I'm like, relax, it's not that big of a deal, especially when you can fix it 15 feet away.
Is that what bothers you about some of the things that you did in Iraq or Afghanistan, that you couldn't fix that little girl, for example?
Absolutely. And you know, nobody, you can't fix everyone, you can't fix everyone, but you do your best. And I know, and I'm very proud that I gave 100% every time I went on patrol. I treated somebody, and that I gave the best medical care that they could receive at that time. What else can you do?
So you made your peace. You've made
absolutely,
your peace.
Absolutely, absolutely. 100%.
My name's Catherine Carr, and this is Where Are You Going? Made by the team at Loftus Media.